pay attention. It's something that I need to emphasize on that you may see on a test or a quiz. I would emphasize it so you know it would be on there, all right? We're going to look at the secret power of prayer. Prayer comes spontaneously from those who abide in Jesus. Prayer comes spontaneously from those who abide in Jesus. I want you to pay close attention to that word, abide. Prayer comes spontaneously from those who abide in Jesus. In other words, those who abide in Jesus have no problem praying. In other words, they really don't have to press their way through. They don't have to fight or struggle to get to that position of prayer, because when a person abides in Jesus, prayer comes spontaneously. You ever notice, You ever notice how the apostle, sometime before service or during service, he has to really pull himself back, because he's been abiding in the presence of God for so long, in the Word of God, even before service, if he starts praying, he'll lose it. Because once he starts praying, he'll get out somewhere and he has to pull himself back because he's been abiding so long. So getting to God's presence is not hard for him at all. Because prayer comes spontaneously from those who abide in Jesus. Prayer is the natural, let me give you the new definition for it. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with Jesus. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with Jesus. In other words, what's built up on inside of you spiritually now is going to begin to get out of your soul and begin to commune with Jesus. So the question I have to ask yourself, what's in you? Remember that word abide. We're going to deal with it tonight. As a leaf and fruit come out of a vine branch without any conscious effort, and simply because it's a living union with the stem. Whenever you have a stem, or whenever you have a branch, I mean, fruit or a leaf will produce from that vine with no conscious effort. Because it's a part of that vine, it has to produce a leaf or some type of fruit. Well, so prayer now bears and blossoms and fruits out of souls abiding in Jesus. So in other words, now, when your prayer life develops, you get from your prayer and abide in Jesus, when you begin to pray now, you have no choice but to blood and block it in whatever you're praying in. Because you are abiding or you are connected to that vine. We're going to look at that scripture, but think about how simple that is. A fruit or a leaf comes out of a vine with no conscious effort of its own. A abider, a what? A abider knows his errand is at the mercy seat that he rejoices to go there. I said, abider knows his errand is at the mercy seat and he rejoices to go there. Every day of your life, either before work, before school, after school, there's some type of errand you gotta run. Amen? Either you're going to go to the grocery store before work or after work. You're going to go to cleaners before you go to work or after you go to work. You got to stop and get something to cook with. You got to pick up the kids. You got to do something. All right? So you know that the errand you got to take care of, right? Well, a true prayer knows that his everyday errand is to run to the mercy seat. See, your life has to be prepared and prayer so much that you know every day you got to run his errand. I gotta go sit at the mercy of God and pray. Come on, Lord. That's a good step. And not only that, you regret to go there. You can't wait to go there. Because you know that you're now about to receive your answers, your breakthrough, deliverance, or whatever it is, because you know you're going to that seat. Half the body in Christ sends out supplications and sighs, sends out flames and sparks. Souls abiding in Jesus, watch this here, open the door of prayer. You hear that? Souls that abide in Jesus. Souls that abide in Jesus. Open that door with prayer. Before you hit the door. Before you roll out that bed, Lord, thank you. See, you set yourself up. You set your day up. See, on a God note, go to Psalms 139. Let me show you what a body does. We gotta go back and correct the thing. Because the enemy, he's taking us. Yeah, but we caught that rapper. we caught him just thank God for the pastor. Oh, I said, thank God for the pastor. Well, while you go on the phone 139, I'm gonna get off my feds, I'm gonna get off and get back on my track. If the past and present and future has already been taken care of, why did God tell me to live holy? That means God was because he beat himself. That means you don't plan on me doing good. You don't plan on me living right. Either you do or you don't. Like that, me alone. We see that. Psalm 139, look at verse 18. Remember I told you that a soul abiding in Jesus opens his day of what? From prayer. Prayer surrounds them as an atmosphere all day long. See, some people, we breathe the air, right? But prayer is supposed to be our atmosphere. Prayer is what keeps us abiding to that vine, to that branch. So, if you are a true abider and your prayer is an atmosphere of prayer, you're an atmosphere of prayer around you all day long, look at verse 18. Watch what happens. I should tell them they are more in number than the what? Stand. Look what this last part of the scripture says. When I awake, I'm still with you. See, an abider never disconnects from the breath. See, my atmosphere is prayer. When I go to bed, I'm thinking about it. And the writer says here, when I wake up, I'm still with you. You want some birds and boxes to have in your life? Stay connected to the branch. Now, let's look at our key scripture for this evening. Go to John 15. Are we going to deal with some things? John 15. I'll go ahead and start at verse 1. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges and brings forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. There it is. No more can ye expect ye abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me not, if he cast forth a branch, and is withered, and many gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Now, verse 7, our grand matter. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Listen to this. Coming to Christ, when we come to Christ, we are saved by the true union with him. You got it? When we get saved, we are saved. We are in true union with Jesus. But it is by the abiding of that union that we shall receive the purity, the joy, the power, and the blessedness that are stored up in Christ for his people. See, that's why the apostle, he got on the trail, and as I began to listen, I began to stand because he got a shift. Let's forget everything you thought you knew and everything, the prophecy said, you shifted it. So now I understand now, if we were going another direction, that means I ain't got to do nothing no more. And that's a trick of the enemy to get you to stop doing what he needs to do to get you where you're going. Because something here said, if you abide in me, which means there's some things I got to be doing. And he said, come in your breath. And if you connect it to me, you can bear fruit. But if you're not connected to me, you're going to live and die away. And if the only way that to do was to disconnect from that thing called prayer, from that thing called confession, because if I'm sick and go to the doctor and my stomach hurts and he asked me or she asked me, what's wrong with me? Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. I'll sit there and put myself on the table because if something's in me, I won't care them to need to be sick. In other words, oh Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. When you go to a doctor and the doctor has to do some kind of a major surgery, what's the first thing you got to do? And I'm going to do the surgery, you got to fill something out, and it's called a what? A consent form. Your consent form allows him to perform that procedure to help get rid of what's wrong with you. When I confess, confession is nothing more than a consent to give God to help me in this situation. But they're telling us we shouldn't confess. Do we read it with prayer? But we are abiding in that union. We are talking. Oh, yeah, I got that report. Now, watch this. John 8. John 8. And we can take off now. John 8. Look at verse 30. Start at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, here we go again. If you will continue in my word, see, it's a process. Then are you my disciples indeed. Now watch this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. All right? We do not know, my God is going to see again. We do not know all the truth at once. Right? We learn it by abiding in Jesus. I said, because we're dealing with the apostle dealing with it, we're correcting some things. This is why, so y'all know what I'm talking about, that message was dangerous because, especially in ministry, especially dealing with young pastors, what that message did was, it puts you on the same plane or the same ground with the more seasoned minister. Yeah. Because now, as you said, because we uttered the same message, that we are equal. I'm going to deal with it. So what happens is, if that's the case, when you got saved, I'm going to deal with this a little bit more later on in a second. If you got saved yesterday, somebody been saved 40 years, what that message was saying is, y'all equal. All right? But when you get saved, you don't know all the truth at once. We learn it by abiding in Jesus. All right? Perseverance and grace is an educational process which we learn the truth fully. But in emancipating part of the truth is also granted to receive and enjoy. Watch this. I'm going to give you an example. Guatemala. We go to Guatemala every year. There's a restaurant in Guatemala called El Toro, which means the fort. All right? You have to go to this big, winding, rocky road. You just go on this road. It takes you like it's forever. It's forever. But once you get up there, and you have this patio, you can see across the whole city of Antigua. You can see the mountains, the houses. You can just the most beautiful place you ever want to see. All right? But you wouldn't have seen that sight unless you got to the top of the mountain. What's my statement here? You can have happier views of heavenly things as you climb the hill of spiritual experience. You shall have happier views of heavenly things as you climb the hill of spiritual experience. There are some things that when you are new or you're convert or what have you, you're not going to experience that someone else who has more spiritual experience has seen. There are some things that Paul has seen that I have not seen yet. because he has more spiritual experience. There are some things that he can do and say that I can't do and say because of his spiritual experience. Pastor dealt with some of the points of two nations. He dealt with the point of setting the atmosphere. And he has the right and liberty that is the atmosphere of losing that right to change it so you can get the word right. Now, you and I, we were a good minister, and we went somewhere, and they were starting to sing that I'm kind of on the rough side of the mountain. You can't direct that church to that pastor. Because we don't have the spiritual spirit to do that yet. Unless we have some type of special relationship, but now he's allowing me to come in and say, minister, a woman of God, man of God, help us. Now you under the grace of the power to correct that thing. But the same thing, you, listen, if you're a pastor or you're a minister or whatever pastor, and you got 20 members, you can't send it back to the choir and finish singing. See, the pastor can do that because he's been a minister over 30 years and he got people trained to make sure everything is going proper. You got 20 members, you need to train them how to raise it. How to agree. How to do things properly. That's just God. You see what I'm saying? So there are certain spiritual experiences that you won't be able to see until you find that spiritual mountain. As you abide in Christ, you still have greater confidence, richer joy, greater stability, more communion with Jesus, and greater delight in the Lord your God. Now watch this. There are degrees of spiritual attainment among believers. Yes, sir, there are degrees. See, Pastor said a Sunday, whatever he said, I can really say, thank you so much, but the church is the only place where we don't want to have no type of order. You can't go on no police department unless you start off as an officer. You can't go directly to the captain. Ain't gonna happen. No matter what job you take, I'm pretty sure that you got to go through some process to get to a certain level. You understand? There are degrees of spiritual attainment among believers, and the Savior here encourages us to reach a certain privilege, position, that is not for all who say they are in Christ, or Lord Jesus. He specifies this group as those who are abiders. They are abiders. Every believer, watch this here, should be an abider that men have hardly yet even earned a name. Telling the body of Christ. Just because you get saved, just because you read about it, because you pray, does not mean you want to bother it. Alright? But when I was younger, I used to want to have a shotgun when we go rabbit hunting. But my dad and they used to always make me carry the bag with the food and moon cookies and all that stuff in it. I want you real rabbit. Better kill the rabbit, get them, do everything, and put them out there. I'm over that big rabbit on my back. I want you to go. But I couldn't shoot a gun. Because I wasn't ready for a gun yet. You ain't ready for international ministry yet. You can't witness to yourself with your eyes yet. You at John 15, we're going to go back there. I'm going to make another statement. And you're going to see it clear. There are some of you who've been around the apostle a long time. I mean, I don't know all of you, but some of you have been here a while. Some 10, 20, 15, there's some of you even been here 30 years. So, on Mondays, you see prayer. Those who have been practicing on the prayer on Monday, do you see him? Yes. When he teaches on Tuesday nights, do you see him? Yes. When he teaches on Wednesday nights, do you see him? Yes. Sometimes you may catch him on Thursday, Friday preaching. Do you see him? Yes. Do you see him on Sundays? Yeah, so we don't say we see him at least maybe 4 or 5 times a week. All right? Do you know him? You may say you may know him. Yeah? No, you don't know him. I'm going to give you an example. Reverend Leroy Jr. knows him. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. Reverend Montreal knows him. Miss Donna knows him. Darnell knows him. Miss Carolyn Moses. Miss Chantel, Moses. Well, how you say we all know him? 15 and 5. John 15 and 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringing much fruit, and for without me, you can do what? I need a definition of abide so I can break it down. Abide means to remain as one, not to become another or different. In other words, you have to live with Christ to know him. And the longer you live with him, the more you admire and adore him. See, you know some things that got the apostle, but you don't live with the apostle. Those who live with him, you don't know him. Those who live with Jesus, those who really know him. And those who know him or abide with him are going to be the ones that when you pray, you are abide and blossom every time you get into his presence. Effortlessly. Because you are part of that growth or you're part of that vine. He is best Christ who is the one, watch this here. He is a best Christ to one who is but a month old in grace. But the babe can hardly tell, watch this here, what a precious Jesus he is to those who acquaintances with him covers well nigh half a century. Those of us who just read and just pray and spread in the Bible study here and there, you're not going to be acquainted with Jesus like someone who has been spending time with him over the years. That's all he said. This is why the apostle, he kind of trained us. It's so simple, but we make it so hard. This next topic, he's telling you about prayer. So I said, people ask me, oh, what's the secret? He tell them all the time, I just think I'm God and do whatever he tells me. What does Timothy tell you? What do you want to write a book on how to succeed? I just told you. And I'm sitting here right now, we still don't believe it, that it's simply abiding in Jesus, praying, standing in God's presence, and everything we need without any effort outside of abiding in Christ, whatever we need and want to God. Look, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Yeah. Notice what he said. He didn't say you were going to do anything. All he said was, you abide, and it shall be done unto you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. So simple. Jesus, if the esteem abiding believers grows sweeter and dear, fairer, more lovelier, day by day. Every day he gets sweeter and sweeter. Every day he grows more and more. Now watch this statement. You're going to see this again. Not that he improves in himself. It's not that he improves in himself, because he is perfect. It's not that Jesus improves in himself, for he is perfect. But as we increase in our knowledge of him, we appreciate more fully his matchless excellence. As we increase in our knowledge of him, we appreciate him more fully for his matchless excellence. The more you get to know about him, the more time you spend with it, the more you begin to love him. People wonder a lot of the times when the apostle ministers, he just begin to weep. Sometimes he can't take it. The word just beyond so hard. I can feel it. I'm going to say I can sense it. And you know it's real. Why? Because he's been abiding with it for so long. And it's God is not a person. The same thing that he do for the powerful, he has a great man and woman of God, he'll do for us. And the we increase our knowledge of him, we appreciate more. And every time the pastor ministers, he fills him up because every time he appreciates God more and more because he knows what God can do. He knows what God has brought him to. And it's because he knows and wants that God has blessed him to do the same thing for you. Power in prayer is the focus of our faith and is considered to be three questions. Number one, what is the source of blessing?
I'm going to answer that for you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. That's special, man. For the Father, let's see for a minute. For the Father to tell you to ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But all you got to do is just get in my presence, get in position, set yourself up. Number two, how is this blessing obtained? Easy enough. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, is that sound hard? And lastly, why is it obtained this way? We'll deal with that in a little bit. What is this special blessing? Notice the Lord never said, not what they would be able to do, but what he said shall be done unto them. Strength shall be given you sufficient for all those holy doings of which you are capable apart from me. That would have been true enough that God said you are capable to do, I'm going to give you the ability to do what you can do. But our most wise Lord improved us upon paralysis of speaking upon all expectations of heart, saying something far much better. You said that. Man, that's powerful. He could have simply said, which is still true, I'll give you the ability to do whatever you need to get done. But he gave you something far more special than that. By simply saying, just ask him. See, by prayer, you shall be able to do. By prayer, you shall be able to do. But before all your attempts, just ask him. Let's get a good example. Brother Ron sitting there, and let's say he's at home, his mom, sister, my friend, or whoever is around the house, and he can over there visiting. And now he's about to leave. Everybody, some people on the PlayStation playing games, some people on the back barbecuing, or mommy there watching TV. And he's around the house, pulling up pillars, looking for keys. He go in the garden, he go in the backyard, walking around. And he do that for an hour and 20 minutes, just walking around, looking for keys. And finally, his mom, his brother, somebody say, Ron, what are you doing? I'm trying to leave. I'm looking for my keys. Well, your keys on top of the refrigerator. Well, he get out. Well, why y'all ain't carrying the keys in it? Y'all carrying it out here. Well, Ron, you didn't ask. It's the same way with God. You running around here, wasting time, wasting money, doing all kind of things, or just going crazy trying to get it done. And God is simply sitting back and saying, why are you asking? You go all around the world to get it done. But all you got to do is ask. Power in prayer is very much, watch this here, our gauge of our spiritual condition. Power in prayer is very much the gauge of our spiritual condition. When that is achieved to us in a high gauge, we are now favored as to all other matters. In other words, when you have secured that high position, that high gauge, when you have got established in prayer, you now become favored as to all other matters. Now watch this here. Let's get this word favorite. We got some information, baby boys, just so good. Let's get this word favor corrected, because now we understand this word favor better, we'll be able to understand God a whole lot more. When we hear the word favor, we all know it's defined as what? Our grace. God's what? Unmerited favor. And when we think about favor, you know what we think about most of the time, we'll be honest? Getting a job we want, a car, a house. Well, I figure something out. We interpret the word favor wrong, so therefore we miss out on all the favor we really have. Can I tell you something? You favor right now sitting in this school. That's favor. That God saw fit to put you in a position where you could be near the apostle to get something that nobody else is getting. You favor every Wednesday with the apostle minister. You favor every Sunday when he get on that pulpit. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm going to take it even farther. You even favor it when he corrects you. Because you have to realize how much God loves you in order to correct you. So the Bible says God sanctifies those who he. So if he uses the prophet to correct you, that means God must love me. And after that, I call that favor. Because they got some people going down the road, they're going to keep going and miss their entire life of destiny because they don't have the favor that we have. Prayer is now a must necessity of our spiritual life. As both is our natural life. Remember I told you prayer is the atmosphere we keep around us? Well, it's just like, oh, we need air to breathe. We need prayer in our spiritual life. Now watch this thing. Some people pray by the yard. But true prayer, watch this here, is measured by weight and not by lips. See, you've been talking for so long that you're really in the presence of God with, you pray alone when you use good words. when you sound real nice. Yeah. Lord. and it's now just become like a wizard prayer. Look, John 15:5, we'll close with this. Verse 7. I want to look at verse 7. That's what I'm about to give you as I close. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and what? It shall be done unto you. Watch this thing I'm about to give you. And you will see this again. What the Lord is simply saying is this. If you are a true abider, if you are connected to the vine, this is what he says. I'm going to give the abider a blank check and permit him to fill out the amount as he will. I told you last session, God is more willing to bless you than you willing to be blessed. God says, whatever you ask me, as long as you abide in me, here goes your check, fill it out, what you want. You fill it out. What is it? He's able to do it suddenly, abundantly, above all you. After me, there's nothing too big that you can say no with. He said, but the truth of the whole thing is, though, you got to buy with me. And that's when we get back to that other message. No, you got to live holy. You got to live sanctified. You got to be dedicated to the things of God. No. No, I ain't gonna say it. Yeah, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna pop it. I ain't scared. You ain't scared. You cannot be asking God to bless you. See, I ain't looking at y'all. I'm gonna just say it. And you gonna know what I'm talking about. You gonna land and you gonna say, you gonna get it right. You can't be talking about God bless you. Lord, I need you. And then through your finish, you gonna go on the Instagram and then site. And then you wanna watch that hero. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about nothing. You know what I'm talking about. And people follow that foolish thing like entertainment. No, you can't entertain that, man. You can't entertain that. So you know what I'm saying? And put on Instagram post, my little girl, get on the face, and then be able to come out. You're just true, nothing. A man. Anyway, I'm sorry, you made me mad. God bless you. Huh? What you got? Let's see. God dog it. That kind of thing kicked me off, man. If you abide in Christ, you still have a firmer confidence, richer joy, greater stability, more communion with Jesus, and a greater delight in the Lord your God. I'm still on? Okay. She asked the question to repeat, because they can't hear it over the internet, about the statement, after the happier views of heavenly things that you climb to hear spiritual experience, as you abide in Christ, you should have a firmer confidence, richer joy, greater stability, more communion with Jesus, and greater delight in the Lord your God. All right. And you are dismissed. Say again. Necessary. Yeah. No, y'all going to see your next class, which is going to be, I think, Pastor Phillips and Walker. We check to make sure. You know, we shifting.